This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. We got a full board, man. We got a full day. We got a lot of stuff to get to. And good to have you with us. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm great. I watched really incompetent kicking last night on the football TV screen.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. You know what? Kaimi's going to miss one every now and then, but for the most part, thank God he's not one of these. Even Zuerlein. Thanks for not being that Bills kicker who looks like... I honestly thought he won a fan contest or something. They're like, oh, wow, that's nice. They let this is a make-a-wish thing or something. these guys can't kick for squat.
He missed in the playoffs last year. He's the reason the Chiefs kept going on in the playoffs last year. Tyler Bass is his name. Man, there was Zuerlein boinked a couple off the left upright. The Bills win, by the way, last night, for those just waking up. So the Fire Robert Saleh experiment so far is 0 for 1.
It looked like it couldn't be any worse than possible because, for one, the change that Robert Saleh had planned on making, getting rid of the offensive coordinator, swapping him out, that looked like there was a little bit of extra juice to the offense. It didn't work. I couldn't capitalize on it, really.
Yeah.
But and then defensively, there were administrative errors on the sideline where, hey, you got your defensive coordinator, now move to head coach. How do you get it? Okay, can we even get the right personnel on the field? Nope, can't. Felt a whole lot like our first go-round with Richard Smith back in 2000.
Six. 2006. Yeah, that is not
Lance,
a compliment.
Lance Zuerlein has a very famous impression of what it looked like on the field that involves breathing heavily.
Is that the one with all the defensive linemen running on and off the field all the time?
Yeah, Lance.
I remember that.
we couldn't get the right personnel on the field. So Lance and John did Lance did an impression of like all the guys. Because I was a nose tackle. I was 315 or 30 pounds, just like trying. Seth, get on the field, sprint out there, and then they're yelling, no, nickel, everybody else swapping out, and then I had to run back on the field after a timeout.
Awful.
And
awful.
Lance's impression nailed it. I was like me just being like, okay, I'll get back in.
That's why you hated him so much, Richard Smith. He made
Richard Smith, yeah.
Yeah,
I thought you were saying Lance.
No, I was like, no, not Lance. Yeah,
no, no. It was a really good impression.
No, I meant Richard Smith.
I listened to it live on radio. I couldn't download it to my MP3 player back then. You
hear
know?
It live. Yeah, man, you had to hear it live. One of the things, so last night, you're right. The Jets, they moved the ball a little bit better. Kicker didn't do him any favors. The referees were awful in this game. The referees made this game totally unwatchable. Both teams had 11 penalties. You know how frustrated we got those games where the Texans had 11 or 12 penalties because it slowed everything down and it was so stupid? Both teams had 11 penalties last night. My favorite was when they would show Nathaniel Hackett up in the booth. Nathaniel Hackett, demoted offensive coordinator, who got to keep his title of offensive coordinator, but wasn't calling any plays. And he had his Surface tablet in front of him. And all I could think of is, I don't know what game he's playing on there right now. I wonder if he's playing Candy Crush.
Or if he's Solitaire, most likely.
Reprising Angry Birds from back in the day. Yeah.
That was his booth of solitude up there.
It was, boy, poor Nathaniel Hackett.
Hey, by the way, there's a Texans angle to that, since we're talking about coaches in the booth. Yeah. I can't remember if I ever told you this or not. Remember the one year I went up and I did the pregame show from Buffalo? So that they let me sit in the Texans broadcast booth, which was right next to where the Texans coaches were.
Right.
And we were about an hour and a half or so before the game.
Yeah.
Somebody ducked, one of the Bills stadium staff ducked their head in, and they were like during a commercial break, and he said, "Hey, sir, the people next door are asking if you can quiet down a little bit." And I'm like, oh crap!
It was Texans coaches that were asking you to quiet
Texans
down.
Texans coaches
via
asking
a Bill
to be quiet.
Staffer.
Yeah.
I would have. I would have gotten up, because that was in the middle of the David Culley season where frustrations were high. I would have pulled.
What am I? Am I disturbing your immaculate game plan?
Thank you. That's exactly what I would have done. I would have gotten up, poked my head in, and said, "You ain't winning anyways today. Shut up and let me. Hey, let's at least have one part of this production that we're putting on for the next 9 hours look and sound good." Okay.
If it had been the Bills coaches, I probably really would have leaned into it. Like, screw these guys.
Right.
I felt awful because it was the Texans coaches. So then I gave what was probably the worst pregame of my entire pregame career, which is now it spans over a decade.
Yeah. Whispering.
I was basically, you know, we've experimented with this where I've tried to speak with the same amount of energy but not the same volume, and it's impossible. I don't know what I can't figure it out. Talk to all the greatest experts in the land, and none of them can figure it out. I did a really boring monotone low voice.
Well, it would have fit in that season. That was a horrible season, so it may as well have a horrible pregame show.
Game itself,
that was terrible.
I mean, it rained as hard as I've ever seen it rain.
I remember.
Like, it was a hard, like, for an extended period of time. It was just, it was ugly. Remember, the first half was kind of close. The Bills were sloppy, too.
I remember Lonnie Johnson getting an interception.
Close.
I remember Lonnie Johnson getting an interception in that game. And probably saying to myself, "Oh my God, Lonnie Johnson."
I went over. It was kind of cool because in the second half, I was like, "All right, there's nothing to see here. I'm going to go hang out with my brother and his friends."
That was fun, I bet.
No, because I was stone cold sober, and they were like they were in the 72nd hour of a weekend that had the high school reunion.
And they're Bills
fans.
That
was fun. I got to hear the stories from my brother's friends who had hooked up with girls from, like, girls who I used to idolize, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what they look like now, but in my mind, they were the girls who were seniors when I was a freshman. And I'm like, oh, wow.
This is pretty good. See, it was
no
a good
kidding.
Day.
All right. Yeah. All right. This is way better than whatever the hell's going on in the field right now.
Oh, man. I hate to take the mood down. Thoughts on Mario Edwards Jr. getting a 4-game suspension yesterday? Texan fans missed this. It was for substance abuse, right?
Not PEDs.
Right.
I knew as soon as it was a 4-game suspension, the PEDs, they've got different categories and everything, and your suspensions can be anywhere from 2 to 5 to 6 to 17.
Yeah.
If you hear one of those numbers with a suspension, there's a good chance it was a substance.
Substance.
Performance enhancing substance.
Yeah.
4-game means it suggests that, okay, this was. He's having a good time.
It's just chilling, man. They're 4-1. What are you going to do? 5-1.
This defensive line room, they chalked it full of veterans who can give guidance to Will Anderson. One of them has a PED suspension, but don't worry, he's coming back. The other one, good old street drugs.
The other one knows where to get the good stuff. Yeah.
The other one was caught huffing. Like, I don't know. I don't know what he was, what it was, but.
Oh, my God.
It is what it is. Yeah.
It is kind of ironic that this happens the week they get Danico Autry back. Like, can we get the whole band together for one, you know, like 1 week here all at the same time? That would be good.
Yeah.
It sucks, though. Like, in all seriousness, Mario Edwards Jr., he's having a good year. I acknowledged him yesterday on the show. He got an acknowledgement during Acknowledge Me, and then less than 10
hours now I know
later,
why.
He's popped in.
I
probably called attention to
you guys
it.
Are pretty tight, are you? You guys are just
Thick as thieves.
Hey, now, where'd you crack? You got that idea at 2 a.m. apparently at an after party somewhere.
No, man. So Mario Edwards Jr. suspended 4 games. Yes, Denico Autry is coming back. Hey, by the way, Nick Caserio joins us tomorrow, 7:30 on the show. It's tomorrow, 7:30.
Put his feet to the fire.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a lot of issues with this
Dateline
man.
Style,
I got to talk
sure.
to him now.
Yep, the wave of drugs in the Texans building, yeah.
I've been watching that Vince McMahon documentary, so we might have to make it about wrestling the entire time.
Oh, yeah. He hasn't watched it yet. I texted him about it. He said that might be a bye week thing for him. You know, he's focused on, you know, trying to run a football team. Whatever.
That's the correct answer.
That's true.
Man, if I were a GM, I would just be delegating out the wazoo and then blaming everybody else for the mistakes.
And then go watch the McMahon documentary.
A strategy that has been followed by, at times, at NRG. So,
many successful
Nick is not
people.
That guy. Yeah,
No. How many episodes in are you right now?
I got to the point where there was a lot of drama between the wrestlers. That was that's where I am.
Oh, that point. I got you. I know exactly.
I think I finished 2 episodes.
Okay.
I write at the WCW, like where they're still in the middle of their
the Monday Night Wars
straight weeks or whatever. Yeah.
WWE's getting their ass kicked. Okay, good.
It's hard for me. It feels a little bit like Ford versus Ferrari.
A little bit.
Where I'm like, all right, am I supposed to be pulling for, you know, Ford versus Ferrari is a really good historically based movie where Ford takes on Ferrari. But it's also like, and you're pulling for Ford, yeah, the Americans, but then you also realize, like, but it's also just a mega corporation taking over, you know, like,
yeah.
beating down on somebody with less resources.
Yeah.
And that's what WCW, they're presenting themselves as the underdog, but they've got, like, Ted Turner just putting millions and millions more dollars into it.
Yeah, it depends on which side you talk to. It's fun, and it's hard now, too, knowing what we know about Vince McMahon now. Like, back then, he was portraying himself as, hey, we're a family-owned business. We pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps, and Ted Turner's trying to put us out of business. And now, you go back and watch a documentary, you're like, okay, well, I know it wasn't a little family-run business for long. I know it became a big publicly held company.
Plus, this documentary was done before a lot of the most recent...
The really bad stuff.
The bad stuff came out about Vince McMahon. So you're watching it, and they keep putting disclaimers up there. Hey, by the way, listen, we did this. We did before every episode and during it. They're like, hey, by the way, we conducted all these interviews before all that stuff came out. Yeah. So some of the Vince's denials about various behaviors are kind of like, oh, yeah.
They ring a little this hollow.
Is, yeah.
They ring a little hollow. Let's do this. Because I want to get to some of the things D'Amico had to say yesterday, but we're up against it a little bit here right now. If you want to text into the show,
screw
you can.
The clock.
713-572-4610.
I'm on Mario Edwards time right now. I'm just going to.
In honor of Mario Edwards, we're just chilling all day today.
We're just going to cruise on through this predetermined.
Has he made a statement at all?
We're not listening to society's rules and these limits you want to put on us, man.
Come suspend us for 4 games, bro.
This is what they want you to do, all right?
I got a chair jammed underneath the doorknob of this studio. Come get us, bro. All right, Will Anderson yesterday. Will Anderson over the weekend. Big shifts in the Defensive Player of the Year odds based not only on Will, but one other huge thing that happened this weekend. So we will get to that. We'll get to all the headlines later on this hour as well. We got a busy show. Ross Tucker joins us at 7 o'clock today. Yeah, Ross Tucker.
I'm so excited. We got Ross Tucker. We got Nick Caserio tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It's a fun week.
We got a petty cast. We got a good petty cast at 8 o'clock today.
As much as I can limit the actual talking with you, Sean.
Don't worry. I got plenty of extras. All right. So we'll get to Will Anderson and the effect on the Defensive Player of the Year odds. Texan fans are going to be excited about this. We'll get to that coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
May shotgun. Two receivers each side, one back Gibson. Here's the snap to May. He's in trouble. He's sacked back at the 30-yard line. Will Anderson Jr. Hat trick.
Is that the hat trick?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it
three
is.
On the day for Will.
Three sacks on the day for Will Anderson on Sunday. He was the best player on the field. Here was D'Amico Ryans on the improvements Will Anderson has made from year one to year two.
Yeah, the transition from standing up to putting his hand down, and Will is, he's done a great job of progressing, and I think he feels much more comfortable with what we're asking him to do. Just allows him to use his God-given traits, his explosiveness, his speed, his strength. Like, he's able to use that, I think, even better, you know, from that three-point stance, and he's showing that he's improving upon it. Like, the thing that was impressive about Will yesterday was just him just working his escape. He does a great job with the speed, the power, right, and moving offensive tackles back into the quarterback's lap, but the way he escaped and won on the edge yesterday, that was why he was able to get those sacks.
Baldinger, Brian Baldinger, former yes. NFL player who does Baldy's breakdowns on social media. He basically takes his phone out and films his laptop with cut-ups of the all 22 of certain yeah. guys around the league. He does them all day on Monday and Tuesday. He had maybe the longest one I've ever seen of his cut. His cut-ups are usually 45 seconds, a minute, maybe a minute 15 at most.
Yeah.
He went, you know, I think the maximum, unless you got that blue check mark, the maximum you get is like 2 minutes and 20 seconds. He used the full allotment on Will Anderson on Sunday.
That's where sometimes we like to play those sometimes, but this one just went on and on and on. And yeah. without the benefit of video, it's not necessarily, doesn't sound as good as it yeah. sometimes does when yeah. it's like a 30-second clip. So, yeah. Because he was as active. As you pointed out, that was the kind of production in a game that you used to see out of J.J. Watt, mm-hmm. where just J.J. would just fill up the stat sheet, not just with sacks or quarterback hits, but TFLs, tackles, assists, everything, in a way that you don't really see out of defensive linemen. So, yeah, it was that kind of day for Will Anderson. I think what D'Amico was saying about the separation at the top of his route, or just the he was calling it the escape, that's what Will had talked about all last season. If you can just, in your mind's eye, imagine what it's looked like a lot with Will Anderson is, man, yeah, he'll get up, he'll get across the line of scrimmage real fast, gets upfield, and then turns in, and then ends up bull rushing the offensive tackle. And a lot of times it gets credited as a pressure because he gets close to the quarterback, but he's actually just, he's not finishing the rush. He's kind of reverting back to what he did as a rookie. It's that last few steps where you got to really keep your hands active and get separation from the offensive tackle that he looked a lot better at on Sunday. And some of that, I mean, you drill stuff up all offseason long. It's just different transferring it into the actual game. So hopefully that was really just, maybe it just kind of clicked for him in that game.
Yeah, the thing I loved about Baldinger's cut-up, Seth, is not, it wasn't the three sacks. And you're right, though, the three sacks, and I know the one in particular that I'm thinking of where you're talking about with the hand action, it wasn't just him just tipping the guy over and then running. You know, they had bad tackles out there. Let's call it what it was. But against bad tackles, you go get three sacks and four TFLs. That's what you're supposed to do when you're Will Anderson. The play that reminded me so much, the plays, plural, that reminded me so much of JJ were the ones that he chased down across the face of the line, where he's on the left and he's chasing down a running back running to the opposite side of the field. Like, like a bullet, you know, just racing across the field to make plays. Just unending energy from Will
they
Anderson.
They have, it's that whole swarm mentality with a defense like this. It just pays dividends over rep after rep after rep. Yeah. And Will's one of the lead dogs in terms of playing that way. The other guy, having Danico Autry back, it makes me feel good because Danico Autry is that same type of player in terms of his ability as a defensive lineman to make plays on the sideline. And honestly, maybe more so than every other defensive lineman other than Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry is really good at corralling guys in space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a defensive lineman, getting that quarterback when he's out in the open field and he's looking to throw. Like, defensive linemen just are athletically these days can't match up with a lot of quarterbacks. Danico does a really good job of taking the right angles, getting his hands in passing lanes, and he ends up getting sacks where a lot of other defensive linemen maybe just would have seen the quarterback throw the ball away or run for positive yardage.
There's some good thoughts on Autry on the text page I want to get to in a second, but just to pay off here, with Aiden Hutchinson now going out for what I would assume is the season with this broken leg, there were people talking yesterday, like, if they make it to the Super Bowl, he could be back. This thing was dangling. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think it just depends on how clean the break was.
Maybe,
neither here nor there.
Yeah, either way, we know he's going to miss, in all likelihood, the rest of the regular season at least. He was the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year coming into Sunday. So he's done now. He's out for that award. That combined with Will Anderson's day that he had on Sunday, Will is second on the odds board, tied with Fred Warner behind TJ Watt for Defensive Player of the Year odds right now. TJ Watt is the heavy favorite at 3-2. Fred Warner and Will Anderson, 8-1. Ahead of Chris Jones, 9-1. Dexter Lawrence, who's having a great year for the Giants, at 12-1. Nick Bosa, 16-1. Max Crosby, 18-1. Will Anderson jumped over all of those guys.
I'd say the limiting factor for each one of those guys, it would be, let's see, in the case of TJ Watt, the limiting factor is actually Justin Fields, because you just don't know exactly what that team is going to be.
Yeah.
As far as how does that play out over the course of the season.
Yep.
The limiting factor for Fred Warner, I guess, it's Christian McCaffrey. So until the 49ers get Christian McCaffrey back, I don't know if they're going to be just that same team.
You have yet to come up with a limiting factor for the individual. It's based all
right,
on what
right,
their teams
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah. No, you look at it, what's the narrative about all of this? And the Texans have the bonus of the narrative being like, okay, hey, Will Anderson is a part of this turnaround for the Houston Texans and this resurgence.
Yeah.
So who's the biggest limiting factor for the Texans team as a whole right now? I guess maybe it might be either Joe Mixon or Nico Collins and the health thereof.
Yeah, and maybe just the overall schedule difficulty increasing in the second half. They play a much harder schedule the second half. I think the thing Will Anderson has going for him over guys like Fred Warner, Chris Jones, Dexter Lawrence in particular, although Chris Jones does a pretty good job of putting up numbers even from the interior, Will plays a position where he is set up to put up some sexy numbers, man.
Yeah,
you know, like, that's the thing. It's really hard for a middle linebacker or an interior defensive lineman, unless you're Aaron Donald, who, by the way, put up crazy numbers as an interior defensive lineman. It's really hard for guys at those positions to win the award unless they're extraordinary, like Aaron Donald. So I think Will's in a good spot, man. If he stays healthy, he's got plenty of help. He's got more help coming on that defensive line with Danico Autry now. Will's in a good spot.
In terms of teams, that the defenses they face where quarterbacks give up a lot of sacks.
Oh, okay.
Minnesota gives up a lot of sacks, unfortunately. So they've already got Tennessee. So they still play Tennessee twice. Will Levis takes a boatload of sacks.
Yep.
And then, honestly, Jacksonville takes a boatload of sacks. But then other than that, they face a lot of teams that don't take a lot of sacks at all. Green Bay is the second best at not taking sacks this year.
Okay.
Baltimore is the best at not taking sacks.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've got some challenges ahead of them. They've already faced Buffalo, which is a good team at not taking sacks. Indianapolis doesn't take a lot of sacks.
Yep. Here is Will Anderson talking about that. Danielle Hunter. How has Danielle Hunter helped Will Anderson since he got here?
Man, Danielle is such a blessing to have on this team and having this D-line group, man. He's taught me so much, and every time I see him, I give him a big hug. Like, I don't have any brothers, so, like, all of these guys that have been in this group, like, I look at them as my big brothers, and I get on their nerves, and I say, Danielle, bro, I thank you so much, because I've learned so much from him, and he just kept me composed. He kept me grounded this last 2 weeks. Like, bro, it's coming. Just keep chopping. Like, keep getting better, man. And he kept me on edge. Like, hey, don't get lax. When you get lax, you start getting sacks a little bit. Your body starts to wind down a little bit. Keep going. And he helped me out a lot today.
Forgot about the dynamic of Will growing up in a house with five sisters or whatever it is. He's got a bunch of sisters.
But they were cruel to him, too. Yeah. Remember? We didn't know about that. Somebody wrote a really good story last year. Can't remember what it was.
Tyler Dunn.
Oh, it was Tyler Dunn. Oh, yeah, at the beginning of this season.
Yeah.
Talking about how his sister's just diabolical stuff.
Yes.
Just really messing with him when he was a young kid.
Yeah.
Like, really some Menendez brothers type stuff. I'm just joking. But because at first when he's saying, like, yeah, I didn't have brothers, and now I'm treating these guys, I'm like, man, you didn't live the real Big Brother experience where your older brothers really just terrorize you. I feel like his sisters may have terrorized him worse than most Big Brothers.
They terrorize him into becoming one of the best defensive linemen in all of football. Terrorize away, if that's the case. Just, you know, nothing too crazy.
Isn't he still scared of the dark because of his sisters?
Yes, according to that story, he's still scared of the dark.
What the hell?
Have we noticed on the Sunday night game this year, back in week two, when they turned all the lights down, did Will go running back into the locker room until they turned the lights back on? Do we know?
That would be awesome if they put up like the little when they put up the little bullet points underneath the player at the Super Bowl, and they're like, Will has a dog named such and such.
Yeah.
Will Anderson. Loves to eat steak. Scared of the dark.
Afraid of the dark. Question on the text page. Seth, how does a defensive lineman like Danico Autry handle coming back midseason? How many games until he's, quote, game ready?
That's a good question, because he's not allowed to practice with the team at all. And a lot of it's just getting back into football shape. I think it was John Harris talking about that. I think he was talking about this with Dylan Horton the other day, that Dylan Horton, there's a big difference between going from the rehab side of things to going over and practicing.
Yeah.
And especially Dylan Horton obviously had a whole lot of, he's coming back from cancer treatment, so physically it was going to be a challenge. It's really, with defensive line, it's easier because they rotate. So it's a lot easier to put a defensive lineman on a pitch count. And you get back out there and you go three or four snaps, and as soon as the clock stops, you swap out. So it's not as big a deal, especially for a veteran like Danico Autry. So I could very easily see him, show up in a notable way, even with limited reps in the game on Sunday. So that's, the endurance isn't a factor unless all of a sudden there's injuries and Danico Autry's got to play 65 snaps.
Right.
Remember, we saw this with J.J. Watt when he came back. Now, he was coming back from that torn pec, but he came back, and that first game versus the Bills, was the Bills his first game?
Bills playoff game was his, in 2019, was his first game back. Yep.
It took him really the first half. He didn't quite look that sharp, and then right at the end of the first half or at the beginning of the third quarter, he had a big play, made another couple big plays, but played a lot of snaps. Then that next week, he looked tired.
Against the Chiefs.
He looked like his legs weren't working quite right. Yeah.
So
that was a situation where they just threw him right into the mix and he played a boatload of snaps. I don't think you have to do that with DeNico Autry right now.
Text message. I'm not going to lie. This feels weird as hell. The Texans are 5-1. I'm just enjoying the ride. I texted you this yesterday and I didn't get a chance to do it yet. The Texans have only been 5-1 one other time in their history.
Yeah.
And it was before I got to 610. I was on a different station back then. So maybe I was following the Texans through a bit of a different lens than I am now, you know, just in terms of the intensity with which I'm following them.
Yeah.
You were here. You were with 610, I believe, in 2012 when they made the playoffs that year, right? That you
yeah. Yeah. I was part-time.
Yeah. So you were back and covered, but you were covering and focused on the team on a day-to-day yeah. basis. I don't remember being, and I'm blaming myself too, but definitely a big chunk of the fan base, being nearly as nitpicky about them being 5-1 back then as it feels like we are now. Like, it feels like the first four wins were all like, yeah, but they had all these penalties. Yeah, but they had a punt blocked. I can't believe they kept these sucky teams around for 60 minutes worth of football, and they had to win the game in the end. Even the game against the Patriots. Like, yesterday I came in and said, man, they won by 20 in New England. I'm going to enjoy this thing. And yet still I'm kind of dipping my toe in the water with various content out there in the city and whatnot, and I'm like, people are doing this about a 20-point win over the Patriots? Like, yeah, but yeah, they had a lull. Yeah. And yeah, but.
No, I get it because of the it's because of the Vikings loss, you know? I mean, if the Texans had only, if they'd lost at the very end of the fourth quarter, the Vikings or something, I think that maybe there would have been more confidence. It's that, and even I think the Bills victory wasn't as convincing for people just because the Bills obviously, and you could see it last night, they've got flaws offensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is how my night started last night watching the game. Brandy and I are sitting down watching the Bills play the Jets. And Brandy just out of nowhere was like, I really feel like Josh Allen didn't play that badly against the Texans. And I was like, all right, now we got to argue about this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, he had the worst completion percentage of his career. And she said, and I'm trying to be a good husband, you know, not mansplain this to her.
Right.
And she started pointing out like how bad his receivers are and how he really doesn't have many good options. And then we're watching the game and receiver after running back is batting the ball away yeah. when it's in their vicinity. And I'm kind of like, oh. And then what's his name? Their one good receiver.
Khalil Shakir. Yeah.
He was on a pitch count. He got into the game, gets a reception immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, and Shakir wasn't playing versus the Texans. No. I'm like, oh, crap, she's got a point. I texted you. I was like, all right, Brandy just said that Josh Allen didn't play that bad versus the Texans. And by about the end of the second quarter, I'm like, there's nothing that angers me more than my wife being correct about something.
Right? I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. So there is, the Bills are not the juggernaut that they were that necessarily, you know, that they looked like in the first couple games of the season.
Yep. All right, well, let's get to headlines. Speaking of that Monday night game, we'll get you up to speed. What happened there? Spoiler alert, the Bills won, but there were some interesting storylines in that game. Suspension for the Texans, get one back from suspension, and then another one going right onto the suspended list. Astros news as well yesterday with the coaching staff. We'll get to that. Major League Baseball playoffs. We've got a lot to get to in headlines, and we will do it coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with Monday Night Football last night. The Bills beat the Jets 23-20 in the first game of the post-Robert Saleh era. The Jeff Ulrich era is underway in New York. The Jets are 0-1 under their interim head coach. They fall to 2-4 on the season. The Bills moved to 4-2 on the season, and they put the loss to the Texans behind them. They're fortunate in this game that the Jets kicker Greg Zuerlein decided to boink a couple of attempts in the second half off the left upright. Although it was a Hail Mary at the end of the first half that kept the Jets even in this game. It was 20-10. Aaron Rodgers, who it was interesting on the broadcast, Seth, and I know you watched the game. They were pointing out, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, how much higher a percentage Aaron Rodgers had on Hail Marys than other quarterbacks. You know, yeah, like five minutes before he throws a Hail Mary to Alan Lazard for a
fourth
touchdown.
Successful Hail Mary in his career, which is just it's Hail Marys are typically just a lottery ticket, you know. And I thought that was the one thing about Aaron Rodgers last night was that, man, all right, he's still got it. The old Aaron Rodgers in terms of his athleticism and his ability to improvise and create, it's still there. It's not, you know, the same as in his heyday, but I thought athletically he looked way better than I anticipated he would at any point this season.
Are you more concerned about the Texans' Week 9 game against the Jets based on their offensive performance last night? Because obviously they should have scored more than 20 points, obviously.
It's the same level. The Jets are in a bucket for me where I don't necessarily care exactly what their record is or how they look on any given night or just even how everything... Like, they've got the potential and ability to continue to be a very good defense, even though they allowed 359 yards of offense yesterday. Like, it wasn't nearly their best defensive performance. And then the Aaron Rodgers, especially the Garrett Wilson dynamic, is just a huge wild card. So, yeah, I'm same level of... I've always had a certain apprehension about going up and playing against the Jets.
Short week.
Yeah.
You're the road team, so that's one less day of preparation that you get.
You got the ghosts of last year where the Texans just completely laid an
egg. Ghosts on Halloween. On Halloween of all.
It's on months. Halloween. That's when there's the most ghosts out there,
ever.
Sean.
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Okay, now I'm really nervous about this game. All right. Well, let's eat
there's
what's
There's one
on our
thing.
Plate.
Kids, your parents are going to lie to you about a lot of things in your life. You're going to be very disappointed when you learn about some of these lies. The one thing they are not lying about is that there are ghosts on Halloween.
Yes.
And they will come for you.
Yes.
Okay?
And your
football team. They will come the hell after you.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
So just head on a swivel. Head on a swivel.
Every kid in the car right now is scared bleepless.
Now the parents are in a position of trying to explain
Thanks, Seth.
When they are not lying to their kids.
Thank you, old Sethers. Let's get to the Texans. Mario Edwards, who's been really good so far this year on the defensive line for the Texans. We'll have to wait four more games before we see that level of play again. He is suspended for the next four games. The earliest we will see Mario Edwards again will be the Cowboys game in Week 11. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday. Grade the defensive line so far this season, D'Amico.
Our defensive line, I think everybody, we wanted a group that rotates, a group that, you know, doesn't give an offensive line a break. And I think that's what you've seen, like with Mario, Foley, Tim. I mean, every guy that stepped in has been productive and made plays for us, and that's what we want. So we got the right guys. We can still continue to clean up some of the things as we're rushing, continue to rush together. But overall, really proud of the group, proud of Rod and Nate for how they've coached those guys up really well this year.
We should point out that press conference took place yesterday prior to the suspension being announced.
Right.
Suspension
right.
came down around 3 o'clock yesterday.
Sometimes with the suspensions, I think the way it operates still is that sometimes there'll be stuff going on with an appeal and the coaches don't have any clue about this or anything. Like maybe necessarily the timeline or at least they don't know when the ruling's going to come down. So he probably genuinely didn't know about Mario Edwards at that point. There's a little bit of a Raiders of the Lost Ark thing going on with the defensive lineman.
Okay.
It's almost like where you're swapping out. Okay, so when Indiana Jones was trying to swap out a sandbag for the golden idol,
yeah.
and he's trying to manage it just right.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like he's trying to put D'Amico Autry onto the pedestal and take Mario Edwards off at the same time.
Yeah.
And hopefully not just have a huge boulder come after you.
That is a super specific analogy that I totally agree with.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. Because if Indiana Jones doesn't get that right, that basically ends the trilogy right there. We don't get any of the other stuff. You know, he's dead. He is dead if he doesn't get that right.
There was, with the defensive linemen, you know, I'm going to start prepping people for potentially having a hockey team. It's a little bit like hockey changing out their lines, where they just do their substitutions and swaps so quickly. And, you know, hockey's a sport where you play for 45 to 90 seconds at a time all out, and then you get a break. That's what defensive line is with a lot of systems in the NFL these days, but especially with D'Amico. You want guys that can roll on, go like hell, go get a breather while another fresh guy comes on and go like hell. So, like, any loss is a loss to the way that you want to operate. And Mario's a guy that's gotten better and better as the season's gone on. It's a hit, you know, and he's a different... He's a different guy than Danico. Danico Autry can play inside, but you like to see it more just in passing situations. He's not as much of a combo. He's a better pass rusher than Mario Edwards, but he's just not that combo, can stop the run inside, but also provide some push. So there's there's some give and take. It's not a perfect Indiana Jones swap.
No. Yeah, I'm excited to see Danico Autry. I mean, I just wish it was within the specter of having everybody back. Major League Baseball, Astros. We'll start with the Astros news. Gary Pettis. I don't know how Astro fans at large feel about Gary Pettis, third base coach, now former third base coach of the Astros. They chose yesterday to not renew his contract. But if you're somebody who did not like Gary Pettis's judgment in that third base coach's box, today is your day. You're going to get a new third base coach.
This one was tough for me for a lot of reasons, because I feel like Gary Pettis it lived through the entire era of OMG, the Astros can't do anything right, and look at how stupid they are because they think they're the smartest guys in the room. And Gary Pettis was kind of, he started off being, why the hell did Gary Pettis send that guy? Why did he send him to home? Why? To, over the course of a couple years, hell yeah, he sent him. That's right. What we do.
We're aggressive.
We test people. Yeah, they're aggressive base runners.
Yep.
So I think that for the most part, people appreciate the fact that Gary Pettis kind of, you watched him be part of the successful transformation into a new team that was doing a lot of things the right way.
Yeah, obviously. I didn't have big issues with Gary Pettis. I don't know the reasoning behind it or whatever, but Gary Pettis will not be the third base coach anymore. Major League Baseball playoffs. The Yankees take a 1-0.
I think it's clear what happened. That now, as Jose Altuve has tried to take charge of the entire organization and their personnel decisions, I think Gary Pettis is the scapegoat for all.
Altuve's
base running errors. I think he single handedly blames Gary Pettis, and he's like, "That's it. You're bringing Bregman back." I am in charge of third base now. Okay? You keep Alex Bregman there when we're on defense.
The new Sith Lord version of Jose Altuve. Major League Baseball playoffs. Yankees take a 1-0 lead over the Guardians last night. They beat them 5-2. Mets tie up their series with the Dodgers at 1 with a 7-3 win yesterday. That's how I know. I didn't realize they were playing during the day yesterday, the NLCS. That was weird to watch the Mets and the Dodgers, two big market teams, playing a day game.
Yeah.
So I was out and about, walked into my local establishment, looked up, saw the Mets up 6-0. My gut reaction was extreme joy. Mm-hmm. I do not want the Dodgers in the World Series. So it was a good test for me. I'm like, okay, who do I hate the most? Gut reaction. Yes, Dodgers are losing.
Yeah, do you have hatred for the... Okay. Yeah, the Dodgers and the Yankees both getting ejected. I feel like it's bad for baseball, probably, maybe, necessarily, but good for us.
I hate to say this, and we probably need more time for it. I'm actually rooting for the Yankees. I may need to save this for later. I'm rooting for the Yankees against the Guardians, and I have a reason why. Yeah, we'll save it for later. But I'm saying that. I know it's going to piss people off, but I'm actually rooting for the Yankees against the Guardians. I have my reasons. I'll tell you later. Because we got Ross Tucker coming up next. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Get his thoughts on Texans-Packers. Where are the Texans on his power rankings this week? This Nick Sirianni thing out of Philadelphia is going to get hit in the pedicast. But it's worth hitting with Ross Tucker, too, because he covers the Eagles. That's a big story, is Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia right now, taunting the fans up there after a win over a horrible Browns team. So we'll get to all that and a whole lot more with Ross Tucker coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.